Today's reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 8, from verse 1, and it's on page 287 in the Church Bibles. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. And they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, who had assembled before him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel stood. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to David my father, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you shall build the house for my name.' Now the Lord has fulfilled his promise that he made. For I have risen in the place of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have provided a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands towards heaven, and said, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept with your servant David my father what you had declared to him. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David my father what you have promised him, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me.' Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant, and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day. That your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you have said, My name shall be there. That you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is the word of the Lord.
O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept your promises, Lord, and we do pray as you speak to us now through Rob and as you speak to the children through Tom. Give us, Lord, humble hearts that is willing to listen and open our hearts, Lord, to be able to speak with you and confess to you the things that are going on, and that through that we will receive forgiveness and redemption through the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Father God, thank you that you know us by name. We are made by you, and we are made to know you. And Lord God, that is a wonderful thought. That is a thought too big for our minds to comprehend. We pray that we'd be open to what you're saying to us this evening. That you'd speak to us about your son Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will God listen to you when you pray? If you said no, I want you to give a reason why you think he won't. And if you said yes, I want you to say why you think he will listen to you when you pray. Okay, hopefully that's sort of whet your appetite for what we're going to look at this evening from God's Word. And we're going to look at this chapter in 1 Kings 8. And this chapter actually just describes a ceremony. And it's a dedication ceremony. I don't know if anyone has been to a dedication of a building or, you know, perhaps a new school or something like that. They'd have a ceremony, wouldn't they? It's a big event. They'd invite quite a few people to that event, and there'd be some speeches, there'd be some, you know, food, hopefully, but there'd be a celebration, wouldn't there, about the new building that's been built. And as we look down, just look with me at verse 1 of chapter 8. At this gathering, there's quite a lot of people there. As in, there's not just the elders of Israel and the heads of the tribes, but there's actually a leader of every household of the people of Israel. So one leader from every household in Israel is at this gathering, this ceremony, this dedication. And at the heart of this ceremony is the king's prayer. I don't know if you heard a bit of it as we got to verse 12. Then Solomon said, and then his prayer. And then in verse 22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly and spread out his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel. So what we have is a dedication for the temple. And we're going to look at that and see why it's relevant for us today. And we'll get to Solomon's prayer and the content of his prayer, what he actually asked God for in a moment. But first, we're going to start off with the question we started with, which is, how does Solomon, what confidence does he have that God is listening to his prayers? Because there's a huge prayer, there's a lot of prayer in this chapter. We didn't even read all of it. What confidence does Solomon have that God is listening? I wonder what your answer was to that question. Will God listen to my prayers? Maybe you don't really feel that he will. Maybe that you assume that he won't. But why? Why do we assume that? Why do we assume he will on the other side of things? We need the answer to that question. And I wonder if the answer to that question differs from the answer in this chapter of the Bible today. So what is Solomon's confidence when he prays? Why does he know that God will hear? Well, it's because God has made himself known. Solomon knows that God hears because God has made himself known. And we're going to look at that together. And the phrase that we're going to look at is, my name shall be there. And it comes up in verses 28 to 30. Solomon says this, yet, God, have regard to the prayer of your servant and to this plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place, and listen in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Did you notice how many times he says this place? He's referring to the temple, isn't he? It's the dedication ceremony of the temple when he's praying, and he says, God, when people pray to this place, then hear from heaven and forgive your people. It's where Solomon and the people were meant to direct their prayers towards the temple. It's a place which God has said, my name shall be there. It's a place where God has chosen to make himself known. And we're going to that's the definition I want you to take away is, when God says, my name shall be there, what he means is, that's the place where I will make myself known to people like you and me. Solomon instructs the priests at the start to bring up what it was, the Ark of the Covenant, which was where God had given the commandments to the people when they left Egypt. And it's brought up into the temple as part of the ceremony, this procession. And the moment that the Ark gets into the temple and into the holy place and the priests leave, what happens? Well, let's look down. It says that in verse 10, and when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So imagine it, you turn up to Becontree Church, you are on time for once, and yet the door, there's a sign on the door that says closed. The service is closed. And you look inside and it's just filled with smoke. And you're like, what is going on? But that's what's happened here. God has shown his presence to be there, that he is going to make his name to dwell there by this very visible thing that everyone can see, so much so that priests can't carry on what they're doing. It'd be a bit of a cop-out for me, wouldn't it? Yeah, sorry, I'm not going to give my sermon today. I can't get in. But God has chosen to make himself known. And he says this expression, my name shall be there. But this is the confidence that Solomon has that God will hear his prayers. The big difference between what the Bible says about what confidence we can have that God hears and what we usually think is that we usually think that before God does something, we need to do something. We usually think that it's that way around, that I've got to do something in order to get God's attention, and then he'll listen to my prayers. But the big surprise of the Bible is that God initiates the relationship. He comes for us. He says, I'm inviting you to know me. Way before we've done anything, he promises to be the kind of God that will come to us, to meet with us, and that's what he does here. One of those examples. You get many examples in the Bible of him doing that. Look down with me. It says this is going to be a house for the name of the Lord. And do you wonder why it is that expression? It's a bit odd, isn't it? It's not saying a house for the Lord. It's saying a house for the name of the Lord. Well, in part, it's because God is not going to be limited to the four walls of that building. This is the God of the universe, and Solomon says, doesn't he, in his prayer, that God cannot be contained even by heaven and earth. So how is he going to be contained in just one building? It's not that kind of house where the sum total of Rob is in Rob's house. No, it's not like that. But it is a place where we can know him, and that's why he says, my name shall be there. It will be a house for the name of the Lord. We know this, don't we? On a human level, it's quite hard to get to know someone or even to sustain a relationship with someone if you don't know their name. We know how awkward it is when we've forgotten someone's name. It's, you can mate and oi's a bit rude, isn't it? You can't really get by with oi, you. Excuse me. Verse 17, thank you. You can't really get very far in relationship with someone if you don't know their name. Whereas if you do know their name, it opens it up to communication at first, and communication opens the door to relationship. And so by God giving his name, and we'll see where he does that, but by God giving his name, he's saying, I want a relationship. I want a relationship with you. He's inviting us to know him, to know who he is, so that we would have a relationship with him. Does anyone else know where the name of the Lord comes up in the Bible? I mean, we could be here till 10 o'clock tonight with references, but come on, think with me of the big moments where God's name comes into play. Top of the class. He didn't even let anyone else have a go. Okay, should we turn to Exodus 3? It's on page 46. It's just before Moses is going to go into Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let this people go. The Lord God says, let this people go. In verse 13, and Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So, before Moses has been sent to speak to Pharaoh and speak to the people in Egypt about this rescue plan, a name, his name is given, Yahweh. It's the Hebrew for I am. I am who I am. And so the Bible doesn't give us a vague view of God, sort of some undefined concept about God. It gives us his name. It tells us, who is this God? And it does that because we can know this God. So the basis for Solomon knowing that God's going to hear anything that he says is not Solomon himself or the people, and we'll see just how not good the people are in a moment. It's not good behavior. It's not winning his approval or gaining his attention. But it's the fact that God has made himself known. He's chosen to do that. And he does that for us. He comes to make himself known to us. And he says, this is who I am. Okay, it's on this basis, the basis of God having made himself knowable by giving us his name, that Solomon knows his prayers will be heard. But what does Solomon ask for? Now that he knows that his prayers are going to be heard, what's he going to ask his God for? Let's jump back over to 1 Kings 8. And we're going to read verse 30, but then we're just going to read the first few words of each of the bits that come underneath that. So if you can follow with me. Verse 30. And listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Verse 31. If a man sins against his neighbor. Verse 33. When your people Israel are defeated before the enemy. Verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. Verse 37, if there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, If their enemy besieges them in the land, at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made. Verse 41, likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country. Verse 44, if your people go out to battle against their enemy. Verse 46, if they sin against you and you're angry with them and give them to an enemy. Just turn to the person next to you. Summarize what is being asked of God in those verses. What's the thing that comes up again and again in those verses of what Solomon is actually asking for? So I'll just give you a few moments to do that. Okay. It's on my page, but it wasn't on the screen, so I thought I'd just get on the screen. These are the seven scenarios. They're quite varied, aren't they? A person sins against their neighbor and goes on oath, so it's just involving two people, and one person, as a result of that, is meant to go on oath, and the oath is to be made in the temple, and God is to hear and forgive, I think is that that's what it says, isn't it, in verse... Then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty and vindicating the righteous by rewarding him according to his righteousness. That one's slightly different. The nation is defeated because they sinned against God. And he says, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land that you gave to their fathers. A drought because the people have sinned against God. Heaven is shut up and no rain. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, and the rest. Okay? And what answers did you have? What is actually being asked for from this God? Forgiveness. Yeah. Hear in heaven and forgive the sins that have been committed, the sins of your people, the sins that have actually brought on some of these situations in their lives. So, let me just jump back to there, being blinded. Can you hear that? Can you see that? Solomon prays that God will hear and forgive. That's what he prays for. On behalf of the people, he prays about sin. Very interesting, isn't it? You know that God's got your ear. What do you want to talk to him about? Sin. The thing that separates us. The thing that gets in the way of relationship with him. The thing that ruins our relationships with one another. Talk to him about sin and your need of forgiveness. Hear, O Lord, in heaven. Forgive the sins of your people. God knows full well that us, that we are prone to be sinful in our lives, that we're prone to forget how good he is and to want to go away from his goodness. And it is wonderful, isn't it, that God allows us, through him saying, I'm making myself known to you, he allows us to talk to him about the very thing that should stop us from coming to him. He allows us to talk to him about sin. Hear in heaven and forgive. In the next chapter, if you want to jump over to chapter 9, this is all very well, Solomon asking these things of God. What's the answer? What's the answer? Chapter 9, verse 3. And the Lord said to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. Now, there's a lot going on in these verses in terms of what is going to happen further down the line and how God is going to do what he said here. But it is wonderful that God says, I'm not going anywhere. I've put my name in this place. My name shall be there for all time. This is the way that you can know me. Just finally, let's jump to John chapter 17. Look down with me. This is the prayer of Jesus just before he's going to go to his death and crucifixion. Verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. If you look down with me as well, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus says, I am manifesting, embodying the name of God. So where to go now to know the God of the Bible is Jesus. Look at Jesus and he will make him known to you. He goes from praying these words here for us to praying the words on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So Solomon can pray, God, you forgive the people. He had to pray that for himself, but Jesus says, didn't have sin, but he said, Father, forgive them. He prayed for our forgiveness. So we started off with the question, does God listen when you pray? How can you be sure? And if any part of our answer is dependent on us and what we must do, then we've got God wrong. We've certainly got the God of the Bible wrong. Perhaps we instinctively said yes to that question, but we hadn't really thought about why we can know that he listens, that he will hear us. But we can know that for sure because God has made himself known. He has given a place on earth through his Son, where we can know him, and his name is made known to us, so that we might have a relationship with him. And when we get to talk to him, we can be honest with him about our sin. We can be confident that he will hear and forgive because of all this, because he has made himself known. The only thing that will stop us coming to Jesus for that is pride. Thinking we can do things on our own, that we don't need to know God, that we don't need forgiveness. But when we come to him as he has chosen to make himself known through his Son, Jesus, God will hear us and he will forgive us from all of our sins. So why don't we do that now in the quiet of our heart? Come to him, thank him for the Lord Jesus Christ for being making known the name of the Lord to us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you want relationship with us. The God who created every planet and every person on this planet. And yet you make yourself known to us. You give us your name so that we might know you. So that we might talk to you and call on your name and be saved. And so we pray that you'd soften our hearts, that you'd keep us as those who would be longing to know you. And we pray that in our relationship with you, we would be honest about our sin and our need of your forgiveness. We thank you that, Jesus, you promised that you would make his name known, continue to make it known. Thank you so much that through your people, people are coming to know you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any questions, you can ask me. You can also ask other people as well. And if they can't answer the questions, you can...